Open Air continues on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service and online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Allen, and tonight at the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville at 7:30 p.m., a double bill of two noted guitarists, flamenco-based guitarist Jesse Cook and former Jefferson Starship guitarist Craig Chiquiso. We are most honored to have in our studios this afternoon Jesse Cook and his associate Nicholas Hernandez.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We really appreciate you giving us the time to play a few songs and talk about the music and what's behind it. We'll get to talking in a little bit, but is there something musical you'd like to share to start us off?
Sure. We'll start with this is an old song of mine, Mario Takes a Walk, sort of my first claim to fame down here, I think. So here we go.
Takes a Walk from Jesse Cook and Nicholas Hernandez. That goes back to Tempest, does it not?
That's actually Gravity. It was the one Gravity. Just after. Tempest came out in 95, and then Gravity was a year later, which still amazes me because now it seems to take me forever to make a new record. But back then, somehow, almost a year to the date, we released Gravity later, and Mario was the first track on that one.
When I use the word flamenco associated with your name, I hesitate a little bit because there's a lot of flamenco in your work, but the collaborations and influences have been so much broader than that. Do you resist that label as well?
I do, but also partly out of respect for flamenco artists. That you know, what I do is not really honoring all of the traditions that go into flamenco. There are many flamenco forms, soleas, sagarillas, bolerías. There's just all these different forms that make up, you know, what is modern flamenco, well, what is flamenco period. And what I do is really based on rumba flamenca and then mixing it with different types of world music from different parts of the world. And so I think of myself as a student of flamenco. I mean, I love flamenco, and a lot of what I draw on comes from flamenco. But I also studied jazz as a young guitarist, and I started off as a classical kid. So, you know, my technique is kind of a hybrid of different styles.
Did you find you had to discard some of the classical and jazz technique in order to find your own voice in these realms?
I think so. I mean, you know what? Once you start recording, you find yourself on the other end of the microphone. You know, once it's recorded, once it's actually on tape or nowadays on your hard drive, you can sort of put the guitar down and sit and listen to it, and then suddenly you're the producer. You know, you take off your guitarist hat and put on the producer's hat. And as a producer, I tend to think, okay, well, that's all nice and clean and, you know, properly executed, but did it move me emotionally? And often I do find that in order to sort of get a little bit under your skin, you have to make it a bit more raw than, you know, the technician in you would like it to be. You know what I mean? These days I try not to actually even think about, you know, what technique is this and how do I get it and how do I achieve it? I just sort of think, well, if it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck, then it's working.
This music must have begun to move you at an extremely young age.
It's funny, yeah. The big question I get asked all the time is, you know, why flamenco? Why, you know, a munja cake like you? You know, I'm probably at the DNA level, I'm more Irish than anything else. We're actually just in Ireland for the first time in my life at 43. I'm, you know, in this sort of place that should be my homeland. And I don't, you know, I've never been there. I know nothing about Irish culture. And yet I spent a lifetime playing a music form that probably is more connected to Spain than anywhere else.
And yet you were born in France.
Yeah, there you go. But in the south of France, there is a community of expat gypsies or ex-Spanish gypsies, gypsies who left for the most part during the Spanish Civil War and resituated themselves in the Camargue region, which is around Arles, close to Arles. It's also close to a little town called Saint-Marie-sur-Mer. And in Sainte-Marie, there's this gypsy shrine, and gypsies come from all over Europe every year and have this incredible festival in May. And my dad actually retired to Arles. And so in my teen years, I would visit him every summer. And just out of luck, he happened to be neighbors with Nicola, who was the lead singer in the Gypsy Kings. So, you know, at that sort of very critical point in my development as a guitarist, I was introduced to that style, that way of playing rumba flamenca, which is, you know, it treats the guitar more like a percussion instrument than a melodic one. Mm-hmm. And I just got hooked. So, yeah, and it's sort of been with me ever since.
Care to play another song?
Sure. Why don't we do a sad one this time, you know, to sort of balance it out. Some happy. We do. The nice thing about flamenco, there's no gray. It's like very sad, very happy, nothing in between. This is the sad one. This is a new one called Come What May.
Even in sadness, there's great beauty. Jesse Cook and Nick Hernandez live on open air here on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service and streaming online at ijpr.org. Jesse Cook and band in a double bill with Craig Chiquiso tonight at the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville at 7:30 p.m. I know almost no one who doesn't appreciate flamenco in some form. It seems to cross so many boundaries and so many genres and so many emotions for people. What do you think it is about flamenco that makes it so universal? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't say for other people how they experience music. I mean, it's so subjective. All I can do is, you know, for myself, it's always had that effect on me. I hear it. I love it. It just seems to kind of reach into you and, you know, push your guts around, and, you know, it seems to touch me like no other music can. And I, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the tonality of it. I don't know if it's the rhythm of it. I don't know if it's, you know, just it's very passionate music. I'm not sure what it is, but it has that effect. It's true. I mean, that's the beauty of music, right? Is that it's, you know, it's visceral. It transcends speech. It transcends the sort of reality. It you know, it's poetry without needing lyrics to somehow access those emotions. And you know, what is that? I don't know.
The mystery is the magic.
Yeah.
I see in a couple of ways how it crosses boundaries. I mean, your music has found success not only in what this country insists on calling world music, but also in the new age scene, the jazz scene, the singer-songwriter world, and smooth jazz and beyond. It just seems to reach pretty much any direction it wants to go and find a home. And I also see that you've taken it into a great variety of places with the collaborations that you found that are far beyond the worlds of flamenco.
Yeah.
I think of the piece with Natalie McMaster and the Bodines and Buckwheat Zydeco in the Zydeco world and Holly Cole from the jazz world and a variety of other folks. I wonder how you go about finding those collaborations.
Sometimes I look for them. Sometimes they just find me. You know, I often tell this story about many years ago, I was invited to go to China. We got this call very last minute out of the blue. How would you like to go to China and perform in Beijing? Great. You've been invited by this artist. Her name is Dada Wa. And it was on Christmas Eve. Like, the flight was leaving the 24th of December. And it was very, you know, like, okay, I guess, you know, pack my bags. We got on the plane. I arrive in Beijing. I'm in this theater. And I'm introduced to Dada Wa. I didn't know her work at all. And she... we're backstage, and she introduces me to a bunch of musicians from Tibet. And she says, you know, would you like to collaborate with these guys? And I said, sure, you know, sounds great. Well, kind of leaves us alone with them. I don't speak a word of their language. They don't speak a word of English. There was, like, no way for us to communicate at all. We take out our instruments, and we start playing, and suddenly, you know, that was it. We didn't really need to say anything more. I mean, the music really just kind of cut right across all of that. Everybody, suddenly we're all speaking the same language, the language of music. And nothing has ever really kind of driven that home for me more than that experience, because I've, you know, in other places I've been, Cairo, Madrid, there's always somebody who speaks a little English, or you can speak a little Spanish or whatever, you can get by. But in Tibet, I mean, I could not say hello to these people. And yet, you know, we got together, we performed backstage, figured it out, walked on stage minutes later and performed for an audience. It's a cliche. You hear it all the time. Music is the universal language.
Was that the most unexpected collaboration that you had that worked?
That worked? Oh, there have been a few. My career is kind of a whole series of, you know, collaborations where you're thinking, I don't know about this, you know, is this going to work or not? My feeling is, as an artist, you just kind of sling paint at the canvas until a picture is formed. Sometimes it looks great and sometimes not so much. And, you know, but you won't know unless you try. So experiment is the name of the game.
Sometimes the collaborations seem really diverse to me at first, and then I start thinking about the musical roots and it makes a lot more sense. Like, for me, the collaboration with Buckwheat Zydeco was one where you think flamenco and Zydeco, maybe they're really far apart, but you can start to trace the roots back, that both end up back in Europe and in France and Spain and those places, and it's really not that distant of a connection.
Well, and all music is like that. I mean, even the style of music that I play, the root of my guitar playing is this thing, rumba flamenca. Well, the rumba Came from Cuba in the 1800s. It came back from, you know, sailors from coming back from Cuba, hanging out in gypsies and, you know, the taverns on, along the seaports of Spain, would hanging out with these gypsies would say, oh, you know, you got to hear this rhythm we heard. It's, you know, and they'll, maybe they'd clap out the clave, right? And the clave for rumba is da, 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 right? Da, da, da. Now, well, they just, the gypsies just took the first half of that, the da, 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 and then looped it. So it went da, 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 and you end up with... You got your rumba, and you know, 100 years later, it's the foundation of this whole, you know, art form that so many musicians are using. And then, where did the Cubans get it from? Well, they got it from Africa, and you know, on and on it goes. Like the roots go in every direction. My feeling about music and world music is that, you know, as humans, we tend to focus on the differences between our cultures and how completely, you know, foreign and different we are. But I think if you just keep pulling your focus back far enough, you start to sort of see the whole planet as just this place where humans live and they express themselves often through music. And the similarities that exist in music are much greater than the differences. And for me, it just ends up kind of becoming all part of the same family at the end.
It's been an amazing experience for me to be music director here and start to learn so much about history and sociology and the roots of human migration just by listening to music and discovering all those common connections and migrations. It's remarkable.
Yeah,
I know you made a bit of a migration temporarily to Spain a few years ago to recharge your batteries and find some musical roots of flamenco there. How's that affected your playing?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I think it's something that most people who live in other parts of the world and who are in love with flamenco, I mean, Nick here has done it many times too. It's something that, you know, if you're really interested in flamenco, you have to go to Mecca, you know what I mean? And Mecca for flamenco is Spain. And Nick calls it drinking from the fountain, where you know, it's one thing to sort of sit at home and look for videos on YouTube or listen to your Paco de Lucía record and, you know, steal licks from it. But it's a very different thing to actually just go and live there. So my wife and I got an apartment in Sevilla for about 4 months. And she's a flamenco dancer, so she spent her days in Triana studying from different flamenco dance masters. And I would hang out with her a bit, but then, you know, I started meeting guitarists and hanging out with them and just, you know, picking things up, sharing ideas and just soaking it up that way. And it was a great experience. And it was nice because after my first record came out in 95, as I said, a year later, I put out Gravity. So, you know, that meant that between when the record came out, we toured the record, you know, started my career. Then I wrote the music for Gravity. Then I recorded it and produced it. And then we got it all packaged and ready to go out a year later. So it was just a nonstop, hardworking year. And every year after that, I've just been, you know, touring more and producing records. And so there was this kind of period where I was constantly outputting ideas, musical ideas. And when this opportunity to go to live in Spain came up, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to do that. You know, I called up my management. Am I allowed to do this? Just like disappear, you know, and unplug, get off the grid for a bit. And for 4 months, my management kind of left me alone. They didn't figure out how to dial 011 on the phone. And so I became a student again. I became on the receiving end of ideas. And it was great. It was a really great experience for us.
Jesse Cook live on open air here on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service and IJPR.org. We'll be back with more music and interview in a moment. I'm Eric Allen with Jesse Cook and Nick Hernandez here live in the studio on open air on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service in advance of Jesse Cook's concert this evening in a double bill with Craig Chiquiso at the Brit Grounds in Jacksonville. How did you and Nick manage to hook up?
Oh, well, Nick and I both live in Toronto, and, you know, once you get into flamenco, very quickly you realize it's a small community of people, and so we've actually known each other for decades?
Over a decade,
for sure. And then at some point, I was looking for a new rhythm guitarist for my band, and I called Nick up. Nick is the musical director for the Esmeralda Enrique Spanish Dance Company, and as well as doing his own records and things. So I called him up, didn't think he would be available. I sort of said, do you have any students who are great who might join our band? And he said, well, you know, I'd be interested in doing that. So I was thrilled. I got a way better guitarist out of the deal than I expected. I don't know why he's doing it, but I'm on the lucky end of that, the receiving end.
Well, let's hear another song.
What do you want to play? that's a good question.
Do an old version of Tempest?
Sure. Okay, we're going to do Tempest. Yeah? Okay, here we go.
Reaching back to the mid-1990s for Tempest from the CD that first exposed me to your music. And I believe that was used in the Olympics somehow, was it not? Is there music of yours?
I think music of mine has been used in just about every Olympics since I started. In Atlanta, in Sydney, in Nagano. Like, it just seems like every year, in the summer they use it for gymnastics, the Summer Olympics, and in the Winter Olympics they use it for the skating, the figure skating. And I'm usually the last person to hear, you know, like the Olympic event happens and then, you know, my aunt calls me up, oh my God, you have no idea what I just heard. You know? And so I think the last Olympics I felt particularly good because I not only were, I think, three of the skaters used my music, but one of them actually won bronze. So I always think I won bronze, you know. You could say I am a bronze-winning guitarist. But yeah, it was the Russian skater and one of the Japanese skaters. And I never remember her name. It's terrible.
What a great honor, though.
It is. It is a great honor. I should learn her name.
Any idea if that's going to continue into Beijing here this summer?
Oh, you never know. I'll wait for my aunt to call.
Yeah. Are you bringing a full band this evening to Brit?
Yeah, we have a five-piece band. It's made up of Nick and myself, and also we have a violinist, Drew Jureka. We have an amazing percussionist slash drummer named Chandy Leon. He's from Cuba. He manages to sound like about five or six guys just by himself. And Dennis Mohammed is our bass player. So it'll be fun. It's more fun when there's a big band, I find.
Big band and a great venue to see live music in, and a nice warm summer evening in which to share it. Jesse Cook and Craig Chiquiso live at the Brit Festival grounds in Jacksonville, 7:30 p.m. this evening. I know, Jesse, you've become a parent in recent years.
And
I'm wondering how that affects your musical life, because it's such a profound experience. It must have some.
Well, you know, the second song we played, Come What May, was actually written while I was waiting for Luke, my first child, my son, to be born. And he was about 3 weeks late. And it was in the middle of, he was supposed to be born in February. He was actually born in mid-March. And so, you know, February in Toronto is a very wintry time, lots of snow. And I was just kind of cocooned in my house with my wife and nothing to do all day but write songs. And so most of the record, most of Frontiers was written in that period. And Come What May is kind of indicative of many of the titles of the song that were written in that period. Things like Waiting, Come What May, Who Knows, you know, things like that. A lot of the titles changed, but Come What May somehow hung on. But yeah, it was a very... contemplative time. I mean, I think your life changes completely. I think you're supposed to mourn the passing of your previous life as a sort of single adult male. That's all gone. Once you have kids, then you just become this, you know, this person who's responsible for these crazy little beings. You know, it's wonderful, but it's a huge change. Do you have kids?
No, I do not.
Oh. Well, then you don't have to worry about it. You probably sleep well too, right? But you know, it's great. I now have two. I have a son and a daughter, and it's hard. It's hard to tour on the road. I mean, I love performing. I love touring because it's what I've spent a lifetime preparing for and working towards. But the sad part of it is that you have to leave your family at home. I'm hoping someday that they're gonna become good enough musicians. The kids will get good enough music. My wife can dance flamenco, and then we'll be like the Van Trapp family. We'll just travel around and Edelweiss. You know, we can all sing, and it'll be great.
That's a good idea. I was going to ask you what comes next musically, but maybe you just answered that question.
I know. Sound of Music, Roomba style. You know.
Well, I know you have to get to a sound check pretty soon, so is there one more song you'd like to play before we head on our way?
Oh, my goodness. You really can. Air? We could do Air. Could we do that? Or should we do something? Did you want to do Dance of Spring? When you said Tempest, you actually meant the other arrangement.
No,
oh, really?
No.
See, we have too many different arrangements because we play sometimes as a duo and four-piece, six-piece, you know, and different arrangements for each that we try to keep in our mind. So Air,
sure.
That's what you want to do? Yeah. All right, we'll just see what happens with this. We have no idea. Without the other guys, I don't think we have an arrangement for two, but we'll just wing it. Here we go. Thank you.
spontaneously rearranged for duet by Jesse Cook and Nick Hernandez here on Open Air on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service. Jesse Cook and band and Craig Chiquiso live at 7:30 tonight at the Brit Festival Grounds in Jacksonville. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate having you here.
Oh, thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Anything you want to communicate to listeners before heading on to soundcheck?
Hi, Mom.
I can't say it any better than that.